Experience is knowing you don't want to do breakfast radio anymore. If you're after experience when selling your house with no commission, check out upside.com.au.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
Strap yourself in for the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy with me, Mick Malloy, and of course, Jane Kennedy. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Mickey. How are you? Dave, how are you going?
Hi. This is a big show. We take a look at Uluru, to climb or not to climb. That is the question.
There's been another gastro outbreak on our cruise ships. We'll get to the bottom of it.
What could go wrong?
Exactly.
We're going to have a special guest today. Ronnie Chang, all the way from the US, homegrown, comes in to talk about his tales from New York City.
I've got a TV report, some updates on new shows that are on, something to replace my lack of bachelorette.
There we go. Bondi vet has sold his house. I hope he's buying in Bondi. And Jeremy Piven, what's he been up
to? Yeah, we'll get on to him.
A lot of trouble. Meatloaf might get a run, much, much more. But please welcome a still forlorn, slightly...
I'm slightly dejected. I mean, I'm happy because I'm in here, and I'm happy because I'm here with you guys, and it's a pretty nice
warm day. You had a rough day yesterday.
I was taken aback. I was appalled. I was shocked because...
By the Maxim Hot 100.
Yeah.
Porto. Yeah, Porto. A Porto Hot 100.
Really sets it up as a classy top 100. I really want to make the Oporto. Mm. It's like the Pirelli calendar.
But not quite.
The Oporto.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Once you crack the Oporto.
I was disappointed, I have to say.
So, Jane, you didn't make the top 100.
We took
umbrage. We've spoken to the editor. We've put him in his place.
I'm pretty sure I'll be right up there next year. But in the meantime, can you just explain who made the list?
Just to put it in context.
Yes.
Coming in at 98 were the vote no mums from the TV ads.
You're joking.
From the no vote no campaign. Why would I make that up?
I've seen those women. I'm appalled.
Well, come on.
Who else is up there?
Well, there's a lot. Well, the Fox news presenters, the Fox sports presenters were
from
nominated as a group of women. But I noticed they deleted my friend Neroli Meadows.
Oh, that's not fair. We'll write that too. Neroli will get in that next year.
They had to scramble into the top 100 somehow. Sometimes you could have cut off a branch to save the tree.
Oh, that's not fair. Neroli won't be happy with that.
No, I love Neroli.
Casey Donovan's in there.
There's a lot in there. In fact, I can't think of anyone who's not
present
company. Except
for me.
You're not having a good run because we had this discussion the other day because I'm Frankston's favourite son, or one of them.
Yes.
And then I was Canberra's eighth favourite.
Yep.
And then they were trying to get me over to Croydon.
Yep.
You put your hand up for what?
For Baldwin.
The city of Baldwin.
Well, yes. It's the city of Baldwin, under Boorundara.
I'm trying to make out you were
council.
Born in the,
I was,
that neck of the
I
woods.
I was in that neck of the woods.
You raised in that neck of the woods.
I totally was.
Turek girl.
And there's you nothing. I'm not on the list of their favourite girls. I'm not there.
You know who you are.
I'm getting on to the mayor, Philip.
You don't have to worry about it because we rang him.
Yeah, what did he say?
Nothing.
He hasn't called you back.
Hasn't returned.
Not interested.
Oh, that's just rude.
Dave out there.
Yeah,
You're a Point Cook. He's a well-known. He's a colourful local identity.
Are you a son of, well-known son of Point?
No, well, according to Wikipedia, it's a notable residence of me, Anthony Collier, and the two guys from Gogglebox. So I'm on the list. At least I'm on the list. I'm on Wikipedia, Jane. You're not.
You know what? Girls aren't into that. I'm just not as competitive as you guys. It doesn't mean labels.
Girls
don't
would
mean
kill
as
to
much.
Be on the Oporto top 100. I guarantee you next year. Like, obviously, they couldn't get KFC on board. So
every time you say Oporto, you know, like Pavlov's dog, I start getting a little burger. Yeah, my dust. So that might be the reason I'm not.
We're going to get into this show. Coming up, we're going to talk about Uluru.
And I have to say, I might have climbed it, but I won't be anymore.
Back in the day.
It's
We've all
right.
done it.
Okay.
All right, that next.
There's to be no more climbing Uluru after 2019, apparently.
I thought they'd already stopped this.
No, what they've said is that they prefer people not to do it.
Okay.
And the numbers
this
have
is the
been
the local
falling.
Indigenous community around there, Mid-Drawer,
that's right.
I think it is.
Yes. Yep. The numbers have been falling anyway. In the 1990s, about 74% of visitors to Uluru climbed the rock.
Right.
And that has dropped down to about 16%. So people are understanding.
After they've declared
that. After they've declared that it's
kind of an important object.
A very sacred area for them.
And they shouldn't climb it. Be like, I don't know, us letting Indigenous people climb all over the Shrine of Remembrance.
Right, yeah.
If you like.
Exactly.
It's a good way of looking
at it. That's a great analogy. Sure. I have to say, and I'm not saying I'm ashamed to say I did it, but I had no idea at the time.
We didn't know what there was. You didn't know there was an issue.
I didn't know there was an issue. I was. I went as a bunch of year 10 schoolgirls.
Yep. Sure.
And we climbed it.
Climbed the rock.
We climbed the rock, and I would say that it actually was much harder. Oh. We thought it was just a pissy little rock, and it's massive.
No,
it's a monolith. Yeah, I know. It's like you can see it from the moon, can't you? And we
people,
got a bit...
People fly from all over the world to check out the rock. Mm. I suggest it's kind of large. Big.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, but that was my schoolgirl observation.
I remember being there. I've been up there
have
a
you
few times.
It?
I haven't climbed it. No, I flew over it. For respectful reasons.
In a chopper.
I flew over it, did a lap, went to the
Olga's,
took it in. Well, see, what
are
I did...
Are you allowed to take photos?
I'd been...
That's interesting.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can. Well, it doesn't matter if you can or you can't, because they do. Yeah. I remember I was at the lookout station for sunset one night, and I just was seeing it, and the rock goes to all these beautiful colours around
yes,
sunset.
Yeah, it's stunning.
And the show's about to begin, and all of a sudden on the horizon, there's just this huge puffs of dust. And then a convoy of about, I don't know, 30 Greyhound buses come flying into the car park. Everyone gets off the bus. There's just this chorus of Nikon.
Really?
As everyone just takes photos. Gets back on the bus and drives off. Oh, and you go, what did you see?
How's that experience? An experience?
I'd like to know exactly what you saw and what it meant to you.
Look, I would love to go back now and obviously not climb it because everybody who's recently gone just says it's magnificent. And we camped there. We were there
did
with
you?
Dingoes. We were there actually a couple of weeks before Zahra was taken.
Oh, no kidding. No,
and there were dingoes everywhere. So I was never in doubt of Lindy's innocence.
Them?
No, we didn't. But they were stealing things from our tents.
Really?
There you go.
Absolutely.
You weren't camped under the rock, beside the rock, were you? Because I heard this from the old days when a lot of people were climbing it, that after a rain shower, it pretty much like a ton of urine would be washed off the side. I'm telling you, it would be
from
washed off the side of the rock from people
up on the
having
rock.
A whiz up
on the rock.
Oh,
my. Fountain of wee.
It's kind of a nature's golden shower.
Well... Yeah, that would be a bit woofy, bit on the nose. The last day for climbing is going to be October the 26th, 2019. Do you know the number? Aussies were the most prolific climbers. The next were the Japanese tourists.
Japanese. Well, they're taking a lot of the photos too.
That's crazy, isn't it, when you rock up and they're just...
Have they considered this?
What?
A chairlift.
Sort of Arthur Seat style.
Is that
I don't think
that
would have been at a council meeting with the elders.
Well, they have a chairlift that
gets probably.
What about one of those chairs they have on staircases?
Oh,
could you rig one of those up the side so I just
I'll be needing one of those if I needed that.
Oh, well, you will one day.
One day I will.
What about we carve it like our PMs into it, like a Mount Rushmore.
No, thanks.
Is that disrespectful?
No, you want to see Tony Abbott's noggin on
Uluru? How offensive would that be?
Kevin Rudd?
Mark Latham?
Ooh, yeah.
They wouldn't have to do anything to Julie's hair, would they?
It's a very sacred site. It's the second most sacred rock I can think of in Australia.
What is the first?
Bum Rock in Mount Eliza, which is where we used to, Bum Rock down in the river. So whenever we used to be wagged to go and have a fag at school, I'll meet you at Bum Rock. It was a rock that looked like a bum. It's hilarious.
I don't think that's going to be called a sacred site.
No.
It should have been the one that featured in Hanging Rock.
No,
Miranda,
it should not.
Into a couple of butt checks. Jury's out for me when it comes to cruises,
cruise
ship. Jay, I know
you've
been on one. We'll get to that in a second. But these are the type of stories that put me off the whole idea, the romance of going on a cruise. And I believe Australians take more cruises than any other nation in the world.
We love them sick.
Just want to get
literally.
On a boat and pull we do. Well, our passengers on a cruise ship, the Celebrity Solstice, which left Sydney on Monday, have been hit. Bang! Right between the buttocks with an aggressive outbreak of gastro.
Wow.
I believe this has gone right through the ship. A spokesman for Celebrity Solstice says no, as a few people are dropped like flies.
The ones they can see.
Yes, that's right. But they're stuck on a boat and they've all got the whoopsies downstairs. Those affected by the short-lived illness are being treated by the ship's doctors and responding well to over-the-counter medication. I put it to you, being trapped on a ship full of people with gastro is a living, breathing hell.
It's a hellish landscape. Absolutely a hellish landscape.
You'd want to point that ship into the wind, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You know, apparently one witness said she witnessed a cleaner in a hazmat suit hosing down a dining table after someone chucked up on
it. Hope it was the captain's table. tonight we'll be backing one out on the captain's table. I'm so happy.
So you can't go anywhere and then they won't let them off because they have to quarantine everybody. You can't get airlifted.
Somali pirates are refusing to go near it. Even they're gone. If you were going to do the I'm the king of the world, you'd have to do it with a peg on your nose. Off the bow.
You,
but what is going on?
I honestly don't know where the problem lies and what it is. It's happened, you know. It happened in August.
So you're on the poop deck.
Oh, my God. 91 people in August got struck down. 91 in February. There was back to back.
When it comes to the toilets.
Backing up.
When it comes to the toilets, is it women and children first?
Actually, I don't know. What's
overboard.
Worse.
Turn overboard.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the swimming pools? No, thanks. I'm glad no one's having dinner right now.
Go get the nets.
There has to be
Captain Scatino would have locked himself in the only cubicle.
Look, I have been on a cruise. I want to talk them up because I went, I was overseas and we had, you know, we've got quite a big family and we thought chuck them on a ship because we didn't see the children. Because in the morning.
So you were talking this up to me.
It was themed also. It was like SpongeBob themed, Nickelodeon style. Yeah. And they have slides, you know, water
sounds
slides
amazing.
And things like that. It sounded awesome. I've given up. I said about 8 years ago, I would never go on another water slide, and I'm holding to that.
Right.
Because who wants to be seen wet walking around on a boat or anywhere?
But there was no incidents? It was...
No incidents. It was awesome. Also, the kids would go off to Kitty Club, Kitty Land, and you didn't have to do anything, and it was wonderful.
Is it the worst place in the world to get gastro?
I don't know about that.
I heard about an aeroplane, a flight.
Oh, my God.
I believe it was an Asian one. And let's just say it was chicken or the beef for dinner, and whoever had the beef... was gone. And this
on a plane, but there's only not many toilets.
No,
on a plane.
But there's lots of space in the aisles, I'm afraid, Jane.
Oh no.
I'd like to hear a black box recording of that particular flight.
Yeah.
Imagine how quickly they would have got out of that.
Oh my God.
There'd be no waiting for the second bell from the captain before you get up.
I'm sure people have got some horror stories.
This is a tough one. Celebrity Solstice. Have you got a story? Have you got a cruise ship that went wrong?
It's bad luck for them. I know it's terrible, but we want to find out, how do you get out of it? What do you do? What's the
situation?
We spoke
to a guy on the Hot Breakfast who he booked a trip to Noumea or somewhere.
Yeah.
And as the boat was leaving Sydney Heads, it turned right. And he said, well, what's going on? They said, oh, no, there's a big storm, like a hurricane up there, so we're going to Tassie.
So then you go
he's
to there
with all the kids with the zinc cream on and the board
what
shorts.
What a disappointment!
Yeah, have fun in Devonport.
Yeah. They needed puffer jackets.
133353. Give us a call now.
Cruise ship disasters. Kennedy Malloy.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
It is Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy for the drive home on Triple M. Talking cruise ship disasters, Jane.
You're a big Loveboat fan.
I wanted to be Julie Tweez, you know, Julie McCoy, who was the chick on it.
I liked Isaac.
Did you? Gopher.
He was pretty funny. Gopher went into politics.
Did he?
Yes. Became quite a successful
Bernie
politician.
Bernie Koppel was one of the
He was. He was dog. Julie McCoy went into rehab.
Who was the ship's doctor?
It was Bernie Koppel.
Yeah, it was.
Who was
Head of Chaos.
Yeah.
Head of Chaos.
Siegfried.
Captain Steubing. That's right.
I think our younger listeners have given up on us right now. We are talking about cruise ship disasters, yep. Namely when gastro goes through the boat.
It's currently doing the rounds at the moment, although apparently at 5 p.m. it's going to back out of Melbourne, so to speak.
Sure it is.
On schedule.
So that pong should lift. About it'll be 6 o'clock soon. As it clears the heads. We're talking about celebrity solstice. It's in trouble. Can you get insurance for that? Say if gastro goes through boat, can you get travel insurance?
Yes, you can. You can, I imagine. Yes, yes.
Can you get off the boat?
No.
Can you decide now that you go, I don't want to go
I think
on the remaining...
I think it's incredibly difficult to do such a thing, to try and bail halfway through a trip. And there's only over 2,000 people, I think. These things are massive.
All right.
Huge.
Well, there you go. That's it's a lot of stools. So let's talk this through. We wanted to know what was your disaster specifically in the cruising genre. Steve's on the line from Bacchus Marsh. How are you, Steve?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Good
mate.
Steve.
So you saved up for your big trip?
Yeah, we had a good one. We went to the Mediterranean and we got the neurovirus and they locked us up in our room for 2 days.
Oh my God.
And it was water and boiled chicken for the 2 days. And every hour they came in with the hazmat suits and they cleaned the whole room, even the remote control. And they didn't tell us nothing. We were just going to the toilet, both ends, two of us.
And how many people were sick on that boat, do you reckon?
We were told 300.
Oh, my God.
I never saw that episode of The Love Boat.
No.
So you're officially under house arrest. They lock you in your room. You're not allowed to leave. And then they come in the space. This is unbelievable.
They taped up the door on the outside.
Come on.
Now, Steve, can I ask, is this just your room? Or are there many others that are receiving this?
No, they're all done. There was 150 cabins with that.
Wow. Steve, have you been on a cruise since and would you go again?
We've been on again. But,
you have? You've gone back for more?
But the worst part was we ended up in Venice and we still weren't well. Yeah. And in Venice, all I had to do was go to the toilet. So we're following the arrows on the ground. I don't know if you've seen them. And they say WSD.
Yes, yes.
I did a crappy tour of Venice.
Literally. So you know where all the dunnies are in Venice.
I'll take you anytime.
Well, they say you should see Venice before you die.
There you go.
Mission accomplished, Steve. Not
thanks,
as you'd
Steve.
Like to do it. I wonder, how good would you feel when you're finally released from your room? You'd be a bit nervous around the buffet, wouldn't you?
Well,
Simon's on the line from Essendon. Simon, tell us about your cruise disaster.
Well, I was on the maiden voyage of a ship called Quantum of the Seas in November 2014.
Yep.
From Southampton to New York, so kind of like supposed to be 9 nights of not seeing any kind of human civilization.
Yeah, sure.
Second night in, captain comes over the speaker and goes, we're just deciding whether we need to turn left and avoid a storm or turn right and catch up with it later in the voyage. Decided to turn left and it turned into a Category 4 hurricane.
Not quite like the Love Boat, Simon.
No, I had the time of my life. It was great because the ship was and still is the fourth largest in the world.
Right. Yep.
And it was lifting anywhere between 10 and 25 degrees.
Any seasickness?
Quite a lot. They didn't really release numbers or anything. They tactically, you know, you find spew bags on every kind of flat surface in the public areas of the ship.
It's usually a giveaway, I reckon.
Yeah.
A spew bag on every dorm.
They do look after you, though, and it was a great cruise.
Sure they
everyone
do.
Who did say, you know, apart from that, I loved it, but apart from that, a lot of other people said they still enjoyed it, but there were the people that said, we won't do this again.
Good on you, Simon. You must have
good
your sea legs, you salty old sea dog.
Good
thanks
for
the call. Mick from Ballon's on the line. Hello, Mick.
Yeah, g'day. Good to see the part of the D-Gem back in action.
That's it.
We'll still
whole,
going.
Get the whole band back together eventually.
You haven't aged a bit.
Yeah, good on you, Mick.
Good call. Give this guy a prize.
Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, we decided to do a big family cruise. It was about 25 of us. We went on the Pacific Jewel. We left from Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
We flew up to Sydney, left from Sydney, and went to Brisbane. the Cairns, Port Douglas on the inside of the reef, and then when we left Port Douglas, we come on the outside of the reef.
Sounds beautiful so far.
Anyway, middle of the night, it all went quiet. I'm thinking, oh, that's unusual. Like, you know, ship engines are pretty noisy, and it went quiet. Well, apparently they lost power.
Oh,
no good.
The ship lost power, so we were drifting out in the out there.
That's always a laugh I find at sea when you lose power.
Drifting.
Oh well, the laughs you have. Oh. Oh, that's fantastic, Mick. Well done. Not bad at all. What about the one? Do you remember the ghost ship? Remember the one up the top? It was
above
Australia.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they found it, the boat. It was going along. The sails were rigged.
Yep.
The table was set. The dinner was out. And it was sailing along on its own, and there was no one on it. And they still to this day, they're trying to work out. They reckon someone's fallen overboard and someone else has tried to help them.
And they're both gone.
And they've both gone bang. But it was called the ghost ship.
Yep. No,
harrowing tales. None more harrowing than my cruise through the West Indies on an 80-foot boat with only three staff. There was two of us. And I only had three staff.
Oh, that's outrageous.
I had the captain and the engineer and the chef, of course.
Right.
This is not your fancy cruise through
to West Indies. You went to Mystique,
West Indies.
But I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't.
Excuse me. I think you have something to tell us about what happened in Mystique. You told me that when you got off.
All right. Hey, quick. That's a dump button. That is a dump. Dump it.
Well, we've been talking cruises and disasters that have been happening. They're not happy with us. But this is something still on travelling.
Okay.
Because this has come out today in the newspaper that a European airline has announced plans to weigh travellers before they board a plane. That's not
this was inevitable, isn't it? And charge you accordingly.
Well,
is that right?
They're saying that they're not going to penalise you yet.
Oh, come on.
No, they're not going to. They're not going
to
find
luggage.
The fatties.
Or say, have a look at your love handles.
No, they're
it'll
saying
be $15 for your love handles and $10 for your second chin.
Well, some larger people have to buy two seats sometimes.
Really?
Yes, that's true.
That's true. But, and so they should.
But the airline Finnair, which I have flown on, it's very and the Finns are a smart bunch of people.
Sure.
They've worked out by weighing people, they will know the exact weight and then they can work out the petrol that they need, the gas that they need to use.
This is a
petrol
way of charge. I've heard this mooted before.
Have you?
And the idea, mainly from American Airlines, who are usually the vanguard of this kind of stuff, it is going to be eventually a way of penalising you.
Really? So for how much you weigh?
You have to go on a diet before you travel overseas. Put the souvlaki down, son. We're off to Bali in a week. Boarding a plane will be like a weigh-in at a boxes.
It will be.
We'll just have all the passengers stand there in their underpants going, yes, I'm in. Instead of boarding a plane, instead of having economy, business and first, they'll have bantam weight, middle weight, light weight. I'll be up the pointy end, of course, with the super heavies.
Oh, well. I'll tell you what, no chick's ever going to give her real weight.
Well, good luck getting.
Good luck getting. I have lied about 1,000 times about how much I weigh when I go. And I do get a few looks like from behind me. Are you sure, Mum? Are you sure?
Jane, this is why I don't trust female jockeys. I just don't. Correct way. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It is harder.
Sure it is. This is very bad news for big guys.
It is.
For big guys, not only now they're going to be charged more, but they're still going to be the first ones you eat when the plane crashes into the
Andes. And so they should be.
Hey, not for me to say.
Who are you casting aspersions on?
Well, I just hope they employ the same policy with some of the hosties coming down the aisles. Very excited, Jane and Dave, because we will be talking with Ronnie Chang who is a homegrown success story, a bloody funny bloke who I ran into. Glenn Robbins actually introduced me to the first time. He said, you want to see this kid? He's unbelievable. And I went and saw him do stand-up, and he was right.
Yes.
And sadly for me, I was coming on directly after him. So I love him, but I hate him.
I've met him through Have You Been Paying Attention as well. He was great on that.
He's a super guy. He's back in town. Yep. And he's made a great job. He's on The Daily Show, which is a huge show, hosted by Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah over there. He's a regular contributor, that's as big as it gets.
Yes, it's huge.
It's one of the shows, the big shows, really, for me, are The Daily Show, Colbert, and, of course, John Oliver, which could be my favourite of the lot. And I was watching on Monday. They must have an Australian writer or someone embedded in there because they come up with a lot of very good stuff with an Australian base, and they're all over. this plebiscite for vote yes, vote no. Okay.
And he's all over Tony Abbott as well. He's really obsessed with Tony Abbott, which is fantastic.
He's got him covered. Yep. But the in the course of his travels on Monday night, he came across our meatloaf at the AFL.
Oh, did he?
And he couldn't believe what he was listening to. Here's how he approached it.
Okay.
Let's not pretend that Australia has relentlessly high standards of who performs at their sporting events. Not after this memorable performance at the 2011 AFL Grand Final. Step aside, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Poppa. There is a new The Day the Music Died in town.
So there it is, and it's amusing to John Oliver.
Oh, it's
but
amusing to all of us.
He did bring something to the table, which I hadn't heard before, which is going to delight everyone here in Australia regarding meatloaf.
Now, this.
And now, if it makes Australia feel better, here's meatloaf butchering America the Beautiful.
Wow.
What? What's going on? But he used to be able to sing on Bat Out of Hell.
Yeah,
was a great album.
Sure he was. I see he gets
had
a
voice.
Confused live.
Confused?
I'll do anything, but I won't do that. I think he's referring to singing in key.
We were talking about the new update for the iOS 11 yesterday. Was it yesterday? I was talking through
yesterday.
It.
Yep.
And we've just come up, Jake, who is one of our producers here, came in, bounded in to the studio to let us know that.
I can't believe Jake stumbled across this.
Well, I know I can't believe he stumbled about this. Now, when I tell people what to do and find this, make sure you're not driving or you'll be pinged. And you know it's very dangerous to text and drive.
And if you're a young boy, if you're an adolescent teenage boy, listen up.
And don't do it in front of your parents
while
we're
about
to tell you.
It would be very, very valuable information.
There is a new thing that in the new iOS where you can tap, it can in your photos, it can source actual body parts, okay, and or clothing. So, for example, this is what you do. You go to the photos icon, you tap on that, you tap on the search, and you type in, for example, brassiere, which I have done.
Right.
And I have to say...
Wow.
There's a lot of photos of my boobs. Oh. I mean, not naked, but with in bathers, and it's zoning in on any shot where I'm showing a décolletage. It's zoned in on
but
that.
But there's all types of bras in there.
So it searches through your photos.
It searches through your photos. It connects the word brassiere and can go to, now I haven't tried any other words, but I'm just saying.
Finally, some technology.
That's for good, not evil. Yes. Yeah, right.
But it's going through all the photos that are stored on
I've got about 5 billion photos. So I wonder if I put in another word. I'll just try this word.
This is great. Right. Look at us. We're all on their phones.
Yeah. Okay, so it's saying no results found. That's a relief. I wonder what else. So there you go. That's the one of the hidden gems that you can find on these phones.
I'm going to type in bot. By the way, Damo Duke sent me this. You know, yesterday you were making a big issue out of the fact that I had 1,152 unopened emails.
Because that's ridiculous.
Well,
that's why I was mentioning
it. Damo Duke has sent in a screenshot of his phone with a message.
How many has he got?
He's got 13,000. No, he's got 35,000.
35,000 unopened
35,231 unopened emails.
He must work for the government.
His mum will be angrier than my mum.
That's ridiculous.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au. Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Can I start with our very special guest?
We're thrilled.
A man who's back in Melbourne to perform at the Arts Centre, Hammer Hall, Wednesday, November 8th at 7pm and 9pm. Tickets from Ticketmaster. Our very own, he was homegrown, he's gone overseas, he's changed a bit, I just sense
he's
it.
He's looking very schmick.
He's not that green kid we said farewell to all those years ago. Make him welcome, it's Ronnie Chan!
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
Thanks so much, it's good to see you guys again. I haven't seen you guys in a while, thanks for having me on your show.
It has. How, let's start with the obvious. How is New York City? Are you loving it? And are you loving working on The Daily Show, one of my favorite shows?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, it's a real dream come true. I moved there 2 years ago. I've been trying to go there for a while, so this job popped up at, I couldn't be more perfect.
How did the job pop up, Ronnie? How did it all come into your lap, so to speak?
Basically, I didn't know at the time, but basically, I got an email from the show asking me to audition for it. And what I didn't know was that Trevor himself asked me to audition for the show personally. That's why it came to me directly. And
off the back of what? Stand up? He'd come and see you do stand up? Your work in Australia?
Yeah, we did a show together at Montreal Just for Laughs in 2013. We did one show together. That was it. We didn't exchange numbers or anything. And I guess I did pretty well at that. And 2 years later, he asked me to audition for the show. So, he really stuck his neck out to get me on because he got the least desirable minority on TV. The Asian man is very tough. Asian man is tough to get on TV, man.
Really?
No one wants to see Asian man on TV. That's like so he stuck his neck out for me.
Yeah, really, great.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it seems like a good team and he's flying. It was big shoes to fill, of course, when John Stewart left.
Absolutely.
But he's done a great job. And you seem to be having a lot of fun. There's lots to talk about in America. For a show that dabbles in the news and being in New York City. Trump, talk us through what it's like on the ground in a big city like New York in America. Because I know they're a bit Democratic, New York, which is at odds with most of the country. What's the vibe?
I mean, when you say Democratic, I assume you mean like more progressive or left-leaning?
Yes. Well, they vote, more non-Trump voters.
And I mean, that's the one thing I think immediately, we're talking about America, I think outside of America, we can think of America as like a monolith sometimes, like America. But you live there long enough, you realize it's such a big country. Every state is like its own nation, their own values, their own cuisine, their own way of talking. So, my point to this is that New York City sometimes can seem like its own country.
Mm-hmm.
Separate to, when you're there. So in New York City, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say that most people would not be voting for Trump.
Cool.
But then you go to middle America and it's different, you meet people.
Absolutely.
In New York City, it's, if you don't like Donald Trump for whatever reason, you're probably going to find a lot of people on your side and agreeing with that. But
I was there for the the election. I was in America for the election, and I was in New York the night after when they had the marches and the demonstrations outside the front of Trump Tower.
Sure.
And I remember thinking to myself, it was one of the craziest protests I've ever been to. Yeah. All white people.
Yes.
On like Fifth Avenue. Between Trump Tower and a Bulgari store.
Yeah. It was like,
what is going on? Yeah, these people marching in the streets.
Absolutely. It's like Lex Luthor getting elected because the guy's got his name on a building.
Yeah.
And on every major city in America, he's got his name on the building. So
you knew he was just sitting up there on top of that tower. On his golden toilet.
Yeah, trying to figure out how to kill Superman. Yeah, that guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ronnie, I want to describe to the listeners in their cars and at home how very fancy you look. You've got an awesome suit on.
Oh, thanks so much.
It looks like a bespoke New York suit. Is this what happens when you go to New York and you get, you've turned all fancy on us?
You have changed.
This is what happens when the show gives you clothing and you don't want to...
Oh, you have a budget.
Yeah, you want to put it to good use. I mean, You know, Hamer Hall is a very classy place. I'm going to be saying some very unclassy things. So I thought the least I could do was try to dress it up a bit.
Well,
so.
It is a beautiful venue. Thank you so much. Have you played many venues like that before?
I've been pretty lucky. I've hit a couple of cool ones. I mean, Sydney Opera House was really cool. Oh, wow.
Sure.
But
Regal Theatre, Perth too, it's going to be coming up as Enmore well. Theater. Have you done that? Enmore, yeah, they're beautiful
but
theaters.
But Hamer Hall, I haven't played Hamer Hall yet. So, it's a great, I really love that venue.
You'll love it. On November the 8th, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Can you hang around? We've got more questions to ask you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Special guest in the studio today. You may have seen him on screen recently in Ronnie Chang International Student on the ABC,
which is a great series, yep.
And you're out here doing your live show, Ronnie Chang Live. Now, mate, you sure changed us there with the names.
He said Ronnie Chang like three times there. That's pretty.
Just keep saying it.
Yeah.
Because you've got some great names in the past from for your shows. 2013, you did a show, Can You Do This? No, You Can't. One of my personal favours. And then 2015, You Don't Know What You're Talking About.
Yeah, there's a general theme popping up in
What are you doing now? You just sold
out? Oh, Ronnie Chang Live.
Ronnie Chang
Live. Yeah, I couldn't think of a condescending enough title. So I just left it, yeah.
Ronnie, I also see that you're currently filming a role in a movie. Is that correct?
Yeah, we finished filming. Yeah, it's coming out. It's just been announced. The movie Crazy Rich Asians. It's coming out August 18th, 2018. So a while away.
And that's based on Kevin Kwan's best-selling book.
Yes, Crazy Rich Asians. The book went really well with white people, and then the Warner Brothers made it into a Warner Brothers movie, which is cool. It's a all Asian cast, Asian director.
Is it good?
Is that your first movie?
Yeah, first movie. Yeah.
Got a taste for it?
It was a lot of fun. Definitely, it was a lot of fun doing it. We filmed. The story is set in Singapore, and we filmed on location in Singapore, Malaysia. So it was like, another homecoming for me. I spent 2 months in Singapore meeting, with my family and friends, and we got to do this movie together. And it was really cool to see not just a kind of Asian story, not just for the sake of it, but it's a really interesting
And funny.
Yeah, I think it's a funny rom-com where this Asian-American girl falls in love with a Singaporean guy and goes back with him back to Asia. So, and finds out that he's super rich. And so there's a lot of class issues being discussed there. There's also kind of rediscovering your cultural heritage in there. But it's also cool to see Singapore as a character in the movie, like a Woody Allen film, where New York is a character in the movie. Sure. Singapore is like a character in this movie.
Oh, okay. No, we haven't seen much of that.
Yeah, because usually when Hollywood goes to Asia, it's usually James Bond getting laid and then for like 5 minutes and then you don't see the city. Hong Kong is basically where James Bond gets laid every single movie.
Someone tries to murder you with their hat.
Exactly. Whereas this is like they're really showing Singapore as a character, and as someone who's grown up there, it's really cool to see. Yeah.
Can I ask, did you do anything spectacular for the movie? Did you put on 20 pounds?
No.
Did you storm off the set like Batman?
No, you know the drill. We come from doing stand-up in bars, and suddenly, we're in this bar where no one's listening to you, and people are sometimes yelling at you, and then suddenly you're on set where people are complaining that their trailer doesn't have two toilets. Like, people get Hollywood so quickly, a bunch of stand-ups on set, stand-up comics on set, and suddenly it's like, my trailer's toilet is too small.
I remember talking on one of the first film sets I was ever on, and I was wearing all white cream outfits, and it was in the sun, and there was someone standing holding an umbrella over my head, so my makeup wouldn't run.
I'm used to this. The craziest thing about that movie, if you ask me, the craziest thing we did was we were wearing 3-piece suits in the tropics. That was the craziest thing we were doing. Sure. Yeah, we were all sweating. All day just trying.
Boo-hoo, Ronnie.
And was that suit from the film?
I stole as much as I could from
but
the
we're set. So happy to have you back here. Are you going to be coming back at regular intervals, or have we lost you to New York City? What's the deal?
Yeah, I've been coming back every couple of weeks. To be honest, I just haven't done a stand-up tour in 2 years, but I've been coming back. I came back, I got married in August
you
in what? Melbourne.
Yeah,
yeah.
Married. Yeah, oh,
yeah
that's
I got
great.
Married in August in Melbourne because my wife is from Melbourne, and I got married to her again in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Malaysia, even though I'm not from Kuala Lumpur, but nobody cares about the groom, right? So who cares? And then,
that's true.
We got married again in New York City, yeah. We got married three times.
Three
to the
times.
Same person,
that's
yeah.
three
to
times
the same
Bridezilla.
Woman. Yeah. You are a keeper, right, Jang. Yeah. You can see at the Arts Centre, Hammer Hall, Wednesday, November 8th, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. I might go to both of those.
That sounds
It'll
awesome.
It'll be a bloody funny night.
Congratulations
out.
On
you,
your
Ronnie.
Success.
Thank
thanks
you so
for
much.
Swinging by.
No, thanks for having me. By the way, the podcast, if you haven't grabbed that already, missed some shows, you can do that. You can get it from the Triple M app, the catch up, or you can go iTunes. And contact us at 133353 or on all the socials as well. Jane Kennedy McMolloy.
Or type Brasserie.
Type Brasserie in your photo. Search engine.
Boobs.
And something might come up out of boobs.
Not bop bop.
Actually, I'm going to try boobs and that might come up. Okay, you know what it's time for now?
What?
Let's hear it, Dave.
The Kennedy Malloy Showbiz Report.
What?
We axed
no.
That.
What?
I'm not having Pianola. Get rid of it.
You don't want that one?
No.
What
stop.
Are you doing?
Stop
all right.
it.
All right.
Well,
I appreciate
let's try
you
that
playing
again.
It live for us.
On libraries.
No, we had a new one made.
Yes.
All right, here,
okay.
here we go.
Let's hear it.
Kennedy and Malloy's Showbiz Report.
Yes.
No.
What?
Yeah. No,
the only problem with that, that's not what our show's called.
What did it say?
Kennedy and.
Kennedy
there's
and
no
Malloy.
End.
I'll have another listen.
Kennedy and Malloy's
oh, no, you're
Showbiz
right.
Report.
Yeah, that's not right.
Oh, well. Next
are,
time.
Are you taking care of this or
I am,
are you?
I'm looking after
are you in
it?
Charge?
So what do you want? Kennedy
is
Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy, Showbiz
Report.
I don't know. I'm getting cranky
he's
again.
A good, he's a good kid, Matt, by the way. There. He's,
I'm not blaming
smokes
that.
A bit too much meth. But he's, he goes all right in there. No, he's chroming since he was 12.
Stop
not,
it.
He has.
Does stop
not
it.
Know that.
Apologise right
it's
now
it's a
to
good,
Matt. He's very young.
It's a good news story. He's
come on.
Good.
That's terrible. All right, let me get into.
We'll give a chance to the third one, Matty, when you're ready. Give it a bell. What do you got?
Why don't you oversee it then? A fat lot of good you are.
Hey.
All right. My Wednesday and Thursday nights are so boring now. I can't stand it.
Is that it? So this has just left a gaping hole in your...
There's no Bachelor. There's no Bachelorette. I know that people will be relating to what I'm saying right now.
So you're tarting around.
I'm just going, what am I going to watch? So there's this show called First Dates. Have
so
you heard
first
about
dates?
This?
No, I haven't. What's
yes, you
it
have.
On?
I've
it's
told
a,
you about
I don't
this.
Know. It's a dating show, and it'll be about a first date. Well,
oh, gee, good guess.
Whoop-de-doo.
Come on, a bit more enthusiasm
and
than
that. And what's the format?
The format is there are arranged dates, and they've got a restaurant set up in Sydney, and you rock up, and you say, I've got a booking under my name of, just say, Craig. And, oh, yes, Craig, just wait for your date to arrive. And then Hannah might arrive. And that's what happened. I'm just going to give you an example of what a couple
So it's like a first
meets.
Date.
It's like a first date. Well, but so what far, happens is they eat food and they chat and they're filmed. And there's about four different dates going at the same time. And they go into the bathroom and they inform their loved ones, how's it going, what's happening, like a real date. And then at the end, they're brought into a studio and they say whether they want to then continue with the relationship or not. Okay? So just for as an example of
so
one of the shows...
Date. Just there's like a date.
What's like it? Yeah, but it's interesting. I like observing people.
Were you good on a
dating?
First date?
Of course I was.
What was your?
Of course I was. My first date.
How long would it take for you to sum up anyone you were dating to go? Bow, this guy's before his ass hits the chair, you're out. Bang.
10 seconds.
Wow.
Honestly.
Yes. 10 seconds.
Really.
Yeah, it's like the voice. Bang.
Like the voice.
With the pepper grinder. Bang. Gone. Anyway, so let's
see,
make this.
I hang in there. I'll go.
Oh, you would.
Just wait till the alcohol kicks in.
Yeah.
It could get better.
The beer goggles.
Do you know, I had a restaurant, which is my first date restaurant and my last date. It was perfect for both.
Really?
So first date was great because it was a restaurant in town, Italian restaurant, and all the waiters were worded right up.
By
after
you.
Dinner, limoncello, madam.
Oh, supply with alcohol.
It's just not. Oh. It's not Harvey Weinstein stuff. It's just
sounds close to me.
And then you go to the same restaurant to break up because it was really small and crowded, and it was a safe environment.
And what would they say? Would you like some coffee or something
that's
at the
right,
end? Or no, fill it with booze. Can I talk about Craig and Hannah? This is a couple. He is a cop. He's 42. Hannah is 38. She's a single mum. And they're having a conversation. Let's just sort of sum up what Craig's like. Let's hear the first clip.
There's a time and a place for dad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me you like me.
Dad jokes, I don't dislike. I just, there are probably other things that make me laugh.
I was actually at home, only a couple of weeks ago, watching TV by myself,
on my lounge with my little blankie on, watching the TV show.
Yeah.
I actually told myself a joke about the TV show out loud. I then laughed at myself. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is Craig, that what you do at
Craig,
home?
Craig's a keeper. He's off to a flyer. Form an orderly queue, ladies.
I tell
you. But Craig, the off-duty copper.
Who's telling with, dad
his
jokes.
Stories about his jokes he tells to himself as he sits at home.
With his blankie.
Somehow I just had a mental image of you on a couch with a blankie. Oh, little blankie.
I start that. Okay. Jared, yeah, well, men have blankies these days.
I know they do.
Hey, so what's, no, what's Hannah
on.
Up to?
Okay, so then stripper. See, Hannah, no, she she's a federal, works in government or something.
You said
she's
single
smart,
mum before.
But she's an attractive single mum, and he's just, I don't know. This is what Craig then goes on to tell about himself to her.
Sounds really bad, but I don't class myself as a true man.
Right.
You know, as in the
sense. I feel
sense
like you need to
word.
Describe that a little bit.
Okay. I'm a true man physically, but
it's good to know.
No gender roles.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I cook, I clean, albeit in my underwear sometimes. But anyway, photos on Facebook.
Okay.
Or mankini. Anyway.
Mankini. You actually have a mankini, don't you? You do. Oh my God.
Seriously, I've got six.
You have six mankinis.
Yes.
Can you describe what a mankini is again? I forget. Do you know what it is, Dave? God.
That's like Borat, isn't it? Isn't it
it's
one of those...
Borat thing.
No, yeah. That's not a...
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's like...
Well, why do you have six?
Well, I think
he's a joke. He's a jokester.
No, he's not.
He actually wears them.
I think he's really.
That
really
was a joke. Borat. No, yeah. That doesn't exist.
No, but this guy, he's a dancer as well, and he's got six
the
mankini
mankinis. Is like a G-string, yeah.
G-banger
speedo.
Yeah,
yeah. Isn't it?
No, but it's more droopier. It's more V-shaped.
Not round my neck of the woods.
Wow, there's a mental image. Okay, so you think he sounds
so
is
he, like. A, is that exciting to you that he cooks and he cleans?
No, it's
he,
not exciting to me. He sounds like right. a tool. So this is what happens in the end. He's just like a shocker. And do we find out? Does he want
Craig.
To? Does he want to continue dating Hannah? Let's hear.
Would you like to go on a second date?
At this stage, no.
What? What?
No,
Hannah and I just didn't have a connection there. We had good conversation, but there was just no actual physical connection. Well, I shouldn't say physical connection. I should say there's no spark. There was no connection there. It was just like talking to a friend.
Yeah, I think she's got to
what
get
Hannah?
Out of jail.
Did they ask Hannah?
She was looking super keen, but when he said no, then you don't say yes. So
oh,
whoever
so
says no
that's
first.
In front of her.
Yeah, that's in front of sitting next to him.
I wish that's how my dates ended when I was out. Okay, guys, do either of you want a second date?
I don't think
maybe
so.
Not.
No,
hey, we've got to go to a break. When
do
we come back, you've
Gosh,
got another. Yes, we have another show.
Yes. I'm going to talk about Love Island.
And I want to talk about the Bondi Vet.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Bondi Vet? Mm. I'm happy to do that.
More of the house. Kennedy and Malloy, apparently. Is that
oh,
that?
No.
Kennedy, stop it.
Get off that piano.
Next.
The Entertainment Report just rolls on at this stage.
It
you
does.
Have more news of another dating show.
I do. Love Island. And now this has been going
that's
in
Great
the UK.
Great Keppel Island, isn't it?
No, yeah, it used to be Great Keppel.
Get wrecked.
Could be Dunk. Love Island, Channel 9 have got that, and they're going to be making it into a series.
And what's it? What's the format?
Well, here's just a little snippet of what it's about.
11 Islanders are heading for 7 weeks in paradise. And this year, we've lined them up a brand new villa. Amazingly, we found another place with a massive communal bedroom and cameras all over the walls. I know, what are the chances? But to make it to the finish, and a shot at 50 grand, our Islanders need to get coupled up pronto.
Okay, so it's a lot of girls in bikinis with big knockers.
Cool.
And lots of buffed up, oily looking
boys. It starts that
boys.
Way, but it ends up a bit Lord of the Flies, I reckon.
Well, I think that's what is planned. And they all live. The cameras are on them all the time. And it's about people getting eliminated. I do know, and he has admitted this publicly, that it's Warnie's favourite show.
Favourite show.
One of his favourite shows. And I think it's going to be a big favourite with a lot of teenage boys in people's houses.
Would you
but
get
I'll
kicked off the
bash.
Island? What happens?
Yeah,
is
you get kicked off. All
thing?
That happens. Same thing.
Is
but
put out.
They're looking
is
for
there,
it.
Is there action?
Well, I think there is action. You see, but it might get a bit bawdier. That's the UK version, which has been going for a few years. The Australian version, Channel 9 have got it, and they've got in mind.
I want to see
what
some
I've
action.
Heard.
I want to see some action.
You'll see some action.
No,
just relax.
Remember the good old days?
Settle.
There was the turkey slaps. And
oh, yeah, on Big Brother.
There was some stuff
dancing
going on. You know, these days
they'll spice it up. Just relax.
What are they wearing?
Well, a lot of bikinis. That's what they're wearing.
Like Blue Lagoon. It's just something like
a lap lap.
A little loincloth for the boys, coconut bras for the girls.
I love that look. Don't you? Yeah.
Little shark tooth necklace, Mickey. Yeah,
that's a good look. They're hoping to get Sophie Monk, I've heard, as the host. And she would be awesome.
She'll be
awesome.
Looking to get away from her husband at this stage.
That's right. On an island.
I suggest you put a hand up for
hopefully
that.
Hopefully Jared isn't a good swimmer, finds where she is on the island. But there you go. So
suggesting Warnie might be involved in Love Island?
Well, I was thinking that, no, he loves watching it, but I think they don't having celebrities. These are like real people, I think, on Love Island. Like, you know, personalities. Is that what they call them?
So you two would still be fine? Show. You just can still put your hand up for that. Hey, that's...
Anyway, hey, that's Love Island. Yes, Mick.
Over to me. Listen, watch what? This. Chris Brown.
Yep, you're good,
Bondi
mate.
The Bondi vet is... Well, he's not my good mate.
You don't know him at all, do you?
No, like I'll tell you how I know him.
How do you know him?
Because I used to hang out in Bondi a fair bit, and I'd be like most evenings when per square metre had the room called North Bondi Italian, had the best looking women in Australia per square metre.
Right.
And you'd stand out on the balcony there, and I'd stand out there every night at sunset having a drink, and he would run up and down.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
He would run the full length of Bondi and then turn around.
Really?
Every night we'd go, evening, Chris. Good evening, Mick.
He's a good fella. What's happened to Chris? What's going on?
Well, he's selling his contemporary Bondi home, or he has sold it for $4.5 million.
Wow.
Well done. That's good Bondi vet money right there.
That is.
And he's moving. No, hey. I was saying, I just hope he's got to move to Bondi or he's rooted, isn't he?
He has to.
The Frankston vet doesn't have quite the same ring to it. Maroubra vet, it doesn't work. Parramatta vet.
The Parramatta vet, not the same ring. Surely he'll find something
all
there.
All he'll be doing is with pit bulls all day long.
Oh, well, because he's
Would you have a bid on that house?
Would I?
I'm going to have a guess here. Bet it's got a doggy door. Being a doggy door and lots of shit on the lawn.
Oh, no, he's a picker-upper. You don't, Lave. No, Chris wouldn't let that happen, I know.
Apparently Dave Hughes was seen at an open for inspection, I believe, right there for some time. I like it. I think you...
Really? I'll tell you what, no, it looked a very fancy house.
I bit on Dr. Harry Cooper's house once.
You what?
Did you?
I bit on
Did
Dr.
You?
Harry Cooper's house. No. Why would I do that, Jane?
I'm sorry. I just get all carried away when you talk about
it. You know what would be a good
houses?
Thing to do?
What?
Guys, buy that house, but not let on that the vet's moved out. Because there'll be lots of good-looking girls floating past. Can I tell you this is a true story?
Yeah, that's
story.
A great master plan.
Like the Playboy Mansion.
This is a true story.
Mm.
So I lived in Jason Donovan's apartment in Bondi for 6 months, which was above that really good restaurant back in the day. Really good one. Anyway,
yes.
So I'm up there, and he was in London, and I was writing a film, so I moved there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, every so often at about 1 a.m, there'd be a knock, knock, knock on the door, and I'd open the door, and there'd be a smoking hot girl standing there. She'd go, "Hi, is Jason here?" And I'd go, "No, but he won't be long.
Come in."
Bang! Honey trap.
Fake news, apparently, has been invented. That term, Donald Trump's claiming he invented it.
Well, I don't know if he invented it.
I don't think he did.
He possibly overused it.
He has been overusing it. And because of that, it's kind of word of the year for 2017, fake news.
I don't like these words of the years. A lot of them don't deserve a Guernsey in their great pantheon of words.
Can I give you some other words?
Where do they appear? Do they actually go into a dictionary? Or?
Yes, they go, because they're sort of an expression, or they're words, expressions, fake news, I know. Well, they got to put this out every year, don't they? They do it every year. Fidget spinner. You know what they are? Yeah, so you're all over this, Dave.
Fidget spinner is.
You don't know what a fidget spinner is? Your boys would have fidget spinners.
What are they?
They're a little bit of metal and plastic.
You hold them between your fingers and
they spin around. They're really annoying.
What's wrong with the world?
They're really annoying. And they sell them
everywhere.
And they can cost $10.
We live in an emoji world.
Yeah.
Where everything that's invented now
fidget
is
spinner.
Useless.
Another word combination that's entered the Collins Dictionary is gender fluid. Do you know what that is?
That's the wet patch on your sheets.
Pick your pardon. Don't say that. Stupid. That's ridiculous.
I'm having a genuine crack at it.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's,
hey?
Not
what is it,
it's not identifying exclusively with one gender rather than another. It's caused a bit of a brouhaha amongst schools because a lot of children and teenagers are now putting themselves down as gender fluid. They don't identify with either gender.
Well, why don't you just do a stock take in the downstairs department?
Because that's not how it works either. And I can see I need to teach you some more things.
Whatever floats your boat.
Another one is...
Oh, this was
a good one.
Everyone.
I haven't heard of this one.
Just be happy.
Shush. Dave, have you heard of this one? Cuffing season.
Cuffing?
I know what cupping is.
Cupping.
I know what cupping is.
No, I've not heard of cupping season.
I don't think you're thinking of my cupping.
You go for it. Cuffing season.
What's your cupping?
My cupping is when I have the Chinese doctor does it to me. Cupping. I don't even want to know what your cupping is. I'm suggesting it involves your two big creepy hands.
No.
Cuffing season.
No. I'll tell you later. What do you want? What do you say?
Cuffing. Cuffing season. It's the period of autumn and winter when single people are considered likely to seek settled relationships rather than engaged in casual affairs. I don't know why it's called cuffing. Everybody gets a bit cozy. I think everybody chumbers up a bit too because they're on the couch, they're all with their rugs and they're not really...
I'd love a good hard cuffing right now. If anyone's out there, 1-3-5-3,
I tell you, there's one...
Come up for a cuffing.
There's one other word.
Cuff your brains out.
This is another Trump word. Covfefe.
Oh, yeah. That was his late night tweet, which meant nothing.
Yeah. No. Well, no, it's another word meaning pussy. Grab.
Oh.
It's my interpretation of it. Right. On that note.
I'm up for cuffing, so bring your covfefe.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's been the show. Hey, by the way, the podcast you can grab, by the way, from today's show.
He's trying to get this back on track.
I was reaching for the dump button. That's what I was reaching for. If you want to grab the podcast of the show, catch up, you can do that through iTunes or the Triple M app. And back tomorrow with Kennedy Malloy for the drive home.
Bang.
Triple M.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.